Kelly Lally, and I'm here in Cave City, Kentucky with Mr. Ellis Jones. Today is July the 1st, 1987. When were you born, Mr. Jones?
March 31st, 1898. My next birthday, I'll be 90.
Congratulations. And where did you grow up?
In Hart County, 4 miles on the bank north side of Green River, 4 miles from Mumfordsville, our county seat, in Hart County.
Tell me a little bit about your family.
Well, my father was a farmer, great Democrat, radical Democrat, and my mother was from a Republican family, radical Republican, but they had making up to agree to live with each other politically, see. I'm not kidding about that. So that was about it there. And so my father owned this little farm. We was poor folks, or middle poor folks. I lived in a log house, big as a barn almost, but happily. And I was raised on the farm and went to the local schoolhouse, which was a log schoolhouse, my first school. And that was about it there. So I had to walk about a mile to school, and eighth grade was high that school went. So that was my limit there at that school. So that was about it in my very young days. Of course, later years I got a higher education, but I got that in Cincinnati. Well, anyway, mostly on the aviation subject. That's what I spent a big part of my life in. 9 years in Mammoth Cave and 5 years in Brittle Aeronautical University in Plunkett Airport, Cincinnati, Ohio, as an instructor, and I was a flyer also. And which is Embry-Riddle, Aircraft University is the largest aircraft university even today. So I followed that until I retired.
Now, what did you do from the time you got out of eighth grade until you were in the CCC?
Oh, I was automobile mechanic here at Cave City at the old Dixie Garage, which is on the main traffic between Lovell and Nashville. And on account of Mammoth Cave, great traffic at Mammoth Cave, all the tourists had to come around Main Street here in Cave City, right by the Dixie Garage, which was a big business. And of course, we had the agency for the T Model Ford. I come here in 1919, and then later years we got the agency for the Model A Ford, which is a later model. And I was at the Dixie Garage as a mechanic foreman. We worked several mechanics there for 9 years. That's about it there.
When did you get married?
Oh, Lordy. Ms. Jones, we got married in 1918, didn't we? What month? July the 8th.
You have an anniversary coming up, don't you?
And your age was...
17.
Yeah, I almost had to steal the old gal. And later I saw her up. No, I'm telling a big story there. No, we've been married happily all these years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is wonderful. We had four children and college educated them all about doing that a lot of things. We've raised a wonderful family, and so we lost one boy in World War II overseas, and he's in the airborne division, and our oldest boy is a retired Air Force colonel. And our youngest boy is Zeke Jones. Is he's employed in Indiana by a large firm. And our daughter, she lives in Florence, Kentucky, 6 miles outside of Cincinnati. She lives on a farm, owns her own farm. She lost her husband, but she still lives on the farm. And so that's about it with my family.
What were times like for you and your family during the Depression?
Well, we made it what I'd call good. Better than our average neighbors, because I was an aircraft welder. We put in gas in Glasgow, Kentucky, the county seat of this county, Cave City, Horse Cave, Park City, which was Glasgow Junction then, and Smith's Grove, and Hodgenville, and I'd done all that welding, which took several months to do. And I got top wages, which I live better than average, because welded for the gas line, same gas lines we use today even, which is very old. And so that bridged me through the Depression until I got my job in Mammoth Cave National Park.
How did you get that job?
I got that job through through recommendation of my congressman from my native Mumfordsville, our county.
Who was that?
Who? Cap Carton, United States Congressman from Mumfordsville. I got a congressional appointment in Mountain Cave through Cap Carton.
In which year did you go in again? Did you go in 1933?
1933, in the Depression. I was there doing full time till 1942, when all CC camps over the nation was disbanded due to World War II, which took up all these young men. We called them CC boys, but they were really young men.
How old were you when you went into the CCC?
When I went to CC?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was born in 1898, and CC started in 1933.
35-40, somewhere around there.
That's right.
And which camp were you in?
Number 4, NP4. NP4, which is National Park 4, across the Green River from Mammoth Cave. Then later I was put in as mechanic over the whole National Park, which that was when the CC's all disbanded in 1942.
The first you were in number 4, did you live with the boys, or did you live?
I wasn't a CC enrollee. I was appointed head mechanic, And then the HCC camp had forest, special forestry, set, where they set out these bushes, which was, they set out thousands of, and thousands of tulip, poplar, and walnut, and locust to stop erosion, erosion.
So, you, did you live in Cave City?
I lived in Cave City then, and ever since 1919, and still live in Cave City. Except, well, my family lived here. When I was the 5 years out of Cincinnati, I lived, of course, I back and forth on the airline, see. But for 5 years, I lived a big part of my time in Cincinnati. But as I say, it was here and up there. I had rooms up there in Cincinnati and rooms here at Cave City, too, which I catch the airlines back and forth when I wanted to for the weekends and so forth. So that didn't cost me anything because I worked there for them.
And that was after the CCC or before? When you lived in Cincinnati?
That was before.
Before, okay.
Oh, yeah, that was before. Yeah, I retired from Mamma K Park.
How much were you paid when you went in as a mechanic, the head mechanic?
Well, that was during the Depression. CC and regular enrollees only got $1 a day and board. Some of the higher grade CC enrollees got $35 a month. They're specialties. But the foreman got I got $120 a month, which was not much today, but it was good money then.
Oh, yeah. And how many children did you have at that time? Did you have all four by then?
All four of them at that time. That's right. Thank goodness.
So you were the head mechanic. Describe what your job was as head mechanic.
I was head mechanic later. Oh. See, each four CC camps had their own mechanic. But later, when it commenced to disband one or two of the CC camps, I was transferred over to Circle, Maine National Park Garage, near the entrance of Mamma K.
So first you were mechanic for number four, is that
That's
right?
That's right.
Okay, what did you do as mechanic for number four?
Well, each camp, number four camp had about 15 dump trucks and stake trucks, and I was over the upkeep of the trucks and two ferryboats. Well, they pulled two ferryboats nearly 100 years by hand, and I am the one that put engines on the Mammoth Cave ferryboat and the Hutchins ferryboat, which both are in the Mammoth Cave National Park, proposed then.
So you're the one who put the engines in, and it's been...
Now,
you put the engines in and...
First engines on the ferryboats. First engines put on the ferryboat, because we had so much traffic, had 900 cc boys, and of course they all didn't cross the Green River the same day, but there's always several truckloads of boys working on the opposite side of Green River, and our traffic was so great, I had to put engines on to speed up the traffic, which made it much easier too, more up to date. And that's just like they got today. It's like in Mammoth Cave Park, using on ferryboats today. Same system.
Did you have anyone working for you?
Oh yes, I had three of the best CC boy mechanics. These young men, they called them CC boys. I was in the park. Each camp they were trained, so I would only have to sign the papers each evening when we end of the day. They was well trained. I could go to Louisville on business for the Park Service, and the mechanic work went on just the same when I wasn't there.
What kind of business would you go on for the Park Service?
Miscellaneous. Todd Donegan Iron Company for iron rods, iron straps to make doors for the Mammoth Cave and other caves and entrance, iron doors. Each time I get more than 100 gallons of paint for different camps, you know, and the Park Service itself, and from Belknap Hardware and many other items at the park used, I'd buy 40-50 paintbrushes at one time, big paintbrushes, which cost a lot of money even at that time, and other things it took to for the Park Service, anything they needed.
So, aside from the CCC, were you working for the Park Service also?
Yes, but I didn't get extra pay.
You did.
I sure did. I'm the only one that really did of the CC camps that done all the work. And I had quite a squawk about that. But finally, that was taken care of.
How was it decided that you would do that?
How what now?
How was it decided that you would take on that role?
Well, I got a raise. I got a raise in salary, and a lot of consideration, which meant a lot to me. So,
what other different types of projects did the CCC work on at Mammoth Cave?
What they call erosion. You know, where these gullies had washed out, they put erosion dams with old fence, old wire, and stop it up with the local sagebrush so it would catch silt and the dirt. Each rain it'd fill up, and they sowed all that in grass, see, which was over 40,000 acres, which is a lot of work to do. And well, of course, some of them worked as blacksmith work, our heifers, rather. They'd done their, all the painting was done by CC labor, because they was always short on appropriation for money, and that saved them money. See, they saved the national park money. All the road grader, road upkeep and building, all on trails all over the park, what they call fire trails. So, you know, in case of having forest fires, they can go anywhere. When the CC camps first started over there, and the first started the Mammoth Cave Park proposed, it was a wilderness, and there's no roads hardly. And they had to make roads all over the park, which was a great job. And we had two big rock crushers that crushed stone to put on that road so we could travel it all weather, you know, through the winter times and all weather. and horse work, tree trimming in around the hotels to make it safe for the public, you know, and necessary yard work and sowing grass and so forth, beautifying near the cave entrance and the hotels. And just about all any kind of work, you name it, they done.
What kind of work did the CCC boys do in the cave itself?
Oh, the only thing, they're very particular about preserving the formation in the cave and its original looks. They made walk trails in the cave and necessary trails, but they also make boats, crack whole river in the cave, and other wiring, electrical. See, the mountain cave wasn't electrically wired until CC's done the labor, but of course they had the foreman, electrician, to show them what it was all about. But CC's done all the hard work over there, mountain cave, for 9 years. And which was great in building up the park. As I say, the park was nothing but a grown up wilderness when it was first started, proposed as a park, or made a national park in full. So it's 900 young men, it was busy doing all that. 45 or 50,000 acres of Mount Gay National Park is a lot of area to build roads, and they built telephone lines too, all over the park for fire suppression. And they had, each camp had four fire towers rigged so could use a compass and during dry weather when they had fire. The CC boys would look out on the fire lookout tower, see, and they'd tell what the compass pointed, the degree, and the four CC camps arranged in different places in the park where that line crossed. Compass line crossed is where the fire was at, see, easy to detect. So, but they only was on the fire tower during dry season, mostly in the fall of the year when, you know, danger of fire and the forest fires. And it's a lot of the fields, it was grown up into grass, and that was worse for fires in the woods. So that was about it for the fire tower. And as I say, that lookout fire towers is all done by CC labor.
You stayed mechanic of number four until some of the camps started disbanding. Then you got a more central job, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I was put over the whole park service. But they still had, each camp had their mechanic, but I was over the whole park service, which included the two ferry boats, anything mechanically and welding. I was a first an aircraft welder. That helped me get my job at Mount Gay National Park, because all them iron doors, each cave was had to be done by welders, because it couldn't be solid sheet iron. It had to be iron rods spaced close enough that if man couldn't walk go through into the cave, but wildlife like bats, foxes, and coons and could go in and out the cave at their will. So each cave, the iron doors are made out of iron rods, so they, for that purpose, so they go in and out. And so, and I've made all the doors for the welding. Them iron rods is welded to a big frame, you see. And so I was the welder, you know, and made all the iron doors for each cave by the help of our local blacksmith.
So you worked with the blacksmith?
Yeah, well, yes, in making those doors.
And you put them in?
So the blacksmith had lots of other work besides welding, and the blacksmiths helped make the doors, yes.
So you kept up the vehicles, and you traveled for supplies, and you welded the doors. Did you do anything else?
Well, anything is to be done. If nobody else wouldn't do, and sometimes things that they thought nobody else could do, but right down to the fact anybody could do it, but I'd go ahead and do things. If I wasn't for the Park Service, it wasn't in my line, you know, I wasn't really what supposed to do. But I didn't squawk very much about that because I needed a job. My family needed a job, and that was it.
You had so many things to do. Is there any way you could describe a typical day for you? Getting up and going to work, or?
Well, yeah, yes. We each camp had foreman's quarters. Yeah, I had foreman's quarters. I had, during dry weather, somebody had to be in a case of forest fire, see. Each camp had foreman's quarters, and I stayed most of my time at home at Cave City. I'd drive back and forth, which is about 10-mile drive, except the time, if my time to be in camp as for fire duty.
How much free time did you have? Did you have any?
Well, yes. Yes, both of them. And then I had a lot of time built up. I kept more than 4 weeks salary time ahead, see? So I didn't worry about that. But I'd done lots of overtime work.
What did you do with your free time, like during the week, when you were off?
Well, I was flying at Bowling Green, flying field, for pleasure and experience to keep up my flying status.
Did you ever participate in any of the recreation programs that the CCC had?
No, I tried to stay out of that. But I was forced occasionally in that, but I tried to stay clear of all of the camp, yes. Except in instructing CCC enrollees how to weld and how to do automobile mechanic work and electric weld and auxiliary welding both. I taught that in camp.
In the education program?
Yeah, educational program at the camp garage.
I think I'm going to turn the tape over.
That's about it.
No. This is the second side of the tape of my interview with Mr. Ellis Jones in Cave City. Did you notice if any of the CCC boys played pranks on each other?
Very much so. The worst annoying prank was what they call remaking up their bunk beds and what they call short sheet. And the sheet is double so they couldn't get under the sheet, in the sheet, or fix it. Sometimes they just tear the sheet in this occasionally. But no, that was an old prank, camp prank, and a few others. We all pull pranks on each other. Even in the park service a little bit occasionally, but we were very particular about who we played the pranks on and what kind of pranks we played. Yeah, that was our part of our daily tricks to get away from monotony.
Well, what other kinds did you do? Do you remember any?
Well, things didn't matter to me, of course. any harm, anything. No, just many, anything it happened to think of, and you might be surprised, some of them was thought up to pull on different ones.
Can you tell me on tape where the different camps were situated?
Number one CC camp was located at what they call the Bluegrass Country Club, the former Bluegrass Country Club, which was near Floyd Collins Crystal Cave, with 200 CC enrollees and about 10 different foremen, including the Special Forest Service instructors and work program foreman, which is usually local enrollees, employed by the congressional appointment, higher pay. So. That was about it there.
And where were the rest of them besides number one?
Well, number two, which was near New Entrance to Mammoth Cave on the south side of Green River. Which had the same amount of enrollees and foremen. And it was there, like all four of the camps was there from 1933 to 1944. That was about it on number two. And number three was old, what's called Joppy, towards Park City from the cave entrance. Which was from 33 to 42, and number four, as I say, across green north side of Green River, it's what they call a cave, which is about 4 miles from the cave. Which was located there about the same time, length of time at the others, from 43 to 42. 33 to 42.
Was there much interaction among the different camps, the men in the different camps?
Yes. They spoke to have good coordination. Yeah, each camp sometimes both from two, at least two, maybe three camps be on the same detail. And they had to have good coordination to do that. Then these very particular CC boys didn't have fall outs with each other and falling out and fist fights or anything. And they worked that out really good because they had good, very good coordination. Well, if they didn't have, they would, these boys would get a dishonorable discharge. So they know they had to behave themselves. So that was about it.
What about socially? Did they get together?
Oh, yes. They had what they call a hoopy camp, where they had dance hall and all ever occasionally. One of the camps would have the dances different times of the other, and where they wouldn't interfere with each other. And the girls from Glasgow, Cave City, Horse Cave would be invited. Usually the mothers would come along. And that worked out real good. But what they call the Hoopy Camp was located about central location from each camp, which was near the Mammoth Cave, within about a fourth of a mile of Mammoth Cave itself. And so they were very particular about the recreation. It only one camp was there at a time to keep down any trouble or any fuss, you know. That was arranged real well. They didn't have no trouble, no. Didn't have any trouble, you might say, at all. The full 9 years.
How did the white people feel about the presence of a black camp?
The average white person, you've got to know us Kentuckians. We've always been used to colored folks. And we was taught to be nice to colored folks. So they would be nice to you. And we had very little trouble over that at all, or practically no trouble at all. When they first come in, they look hard at the first 10 CC colored enrollees they got. At number one camp, as the first. Then later, that was made a completely colored camp for the last 2 or 3 years of the camp. They had no trouble because each one know to keep his job, he had to behave himself. And they was well supervised, and in fact of business, they was pretty well educated, broad-minded enough to know they better behave themselves, it's better for everybody. That's about it. We had no trouble with color, never have. Don't yet. Here, in local, you know, in Kentucky.
Did the black CCC boys participate in the same?
Same categories that the white did, yeah. Practically the same, yeah. And don't miscalculate their knowledge of doing things, because they were good.
Oh, definitely.
They tried to be the best.
How did the local residents feel about the CCC being in the area?
First, we was in a depression. Business at Cave City was hard up for business in one sense, or the whole country. They had a hard look at first, but that didn't last long because they was welcome very much so later. The CCs didn't give any trouble to mount anything at all because they was under good supervision They were pretty smart boys. They had educational advisors to teach them different trades, very important trades, and had instructors for special trades, and so everything went smooth, wonderful.
So there wasn't much tension between the CCC and
the local. No, none at all. In fact, when they said come here to picture show, they had special nights for each camp to come to picture show. Don't have it now. But they come up picture for show for recreation. One night and the other another, which kept down any trouble, probably wouldn't be any trouble anyway. So that worked out very smoothly.
What about tension with the Park Service being in the area? I heard from some people that a lot of local residents were displaced from their farms, that they weren't really happy about it.
That was the worst, roughest deal of a whole national park making. It's local farmers having to leave his farm through court, county courts. And that caused a lot of unnecessary forest fires for the first two or three years. During the Depression, they didn't get too much with the farms, and some of them waited a year or two, and farms was going up higher and higher all the time, and might near double. And that gave a farmer a hard way to go, and caused lots of resentment with the local people that had to move out of the park.
But that didn't go on to the CCC, just maybe the Park Service?
Yes.
Did a lot of the local men date, or a lot of the CCC boys date local girls?
Yes. But that was done well, in a broad-minded way, and the girls usually have the mothers along, and the boys. Well supervised too by the higher Park Service men. That was well performed. As I say, at the Hoopy House, which is a large building built for that purpose, dance halls, that was well done.
How successful do you feel the CCC was in relieving the effects of the Depression? The effects of the Depression.
They was there because they need money. They sent some of their money home to the parents each month, a certain percent. That was worked out well, send money home to the parents, and some of the parents really didn't need it. But there's an average the parents really need it, at an average.
What about for the local economy around the cave and the park? Did the CCC being there help?
The local towns, yeah. Even Bowling Green, which is a large town. This deal was Franklin D. Roosevelt Depression deal to help the hungry and the needy. And it worked well. At that time, it was well needed. the 9 years had come out of that depression to a certain help. Really didn't need all this.
What do you consider to be the biggest success of the CCC?
Well, the biggest success, I'd have to say the Forest Service sending out those small young walnut sprouts and tulip poplar, yellow poplar, and locusts, which locusts make a good fence post. And they set them out in erosion gullies where they made dams to help stop up the erosion. So that erosion deal was probably the best deal of the whole thing, keeping washing land away. And reforested the naked bare washaway land. And that was probably their best deal. Although the second probably best was the better roads in that area. They made the roads. They'd done lots of work. Everything was to the good, but I guess they were the two of the largest, best things. They called them the Bush Army, you know, because they said how bushes, see. Like walnut and other bushes. Yeah, they called it the Bush War Army.
What about for the military during World War II? Did the CCC have a great impact on that, do you think?
Oh, yes. Due to the war program, these young men were well prepared and educated for the armed service, which they absorbed most of these young men and some of the older men. And that was great for the build-up. Now, one thing I didn't mention, all along during the CC camp days, we got our supplies from Fort Knox. Army supply. That's where the camp itself was what to call the army. They got their supplies from Fort Knox, food, and certain things. They got Bowling Green, and they had bakers bake their own bread. They had as good a bakers as these cities had, but the regular supplies they got from Fort Knox. But the Park Service, which is different to the Army, Park Service and the Army, the Army would turn over these boys 8 o'clock every morning for 8 hours work, and they'd turn back to the Army or the CC camp at night. So that way was, you might say, two types of service.
Were there any major problems with the CCC that you can name or know about?
No, they're very particular about that. They're more or less broad-minded foremen and the boys themselves, most of them are. Is this only occasion? On a certain occasion, they get one or two, and it'd have to bring him in line with the others. But that was very easy to do, and soon he was doing like all the rest of them was doing, and that was great. Some of these boys was from back country neighborhoods. It needed that. And that was a great help to those boys socially.
A little bit earlier, we were talking about the education program, and you were saying you worked teaching some boys about mechanics. C- could you tell me something more about the education program in general at Mammoth Cave? What kind of classes they offered and how many people participated?
Blacksmiths taught certain, I'll say a dozen boys, blacksmith, how to temper, how to make things out of iron, which see, these gates was mostly the labor was gates at the different cave entrances was made, but see labor at a local camp blacksmith, and the blacksmith was acting as a foreman. CC, the boy, had done practically all their hard work, and he even installing the doors in the cave itself. And just like I said before, each door had to be made out of iron rods, fairly close together, but wide enough that wildlife like foxes, coons, and bats could go in and out the cave is a natural habitat, as they always have done before. They're very particular about their natural habitat.
What other kinds of classes were offered in the education program?
Well, I should have went on and told the rest of it. Oh my goodness, in fact, everything is needed in life. Doing the carpenter work, building houses, buildings for the park. In fact, all that brick work over there is done by CC, all of it is done by CC labor. But they always had a bricklayer form, see? Anything is hard work to be done over there, done by CC young men. We say CC boys, but these are actually young men, very fine young men. So they see the park, Mount Key National Park, and other parks, probably millions of dollars doing all that hard labor, building roads and even buildings. As I say, nice brick buildings you see at Mount Key Park now. Big part of that labor is done by CC and labor, which then cost extra. Tree arbor work and trimming trees and so forth around the hotel and area itself to make everything safe, you know, and beautifying the parks and everything. Especially around the hotel, close to the hotel, where the tourist was active. That was done by CC. And even the hard harbor cleanup work, hard labor was done by CC work. All the washing up the ferry boats, cleaning them up, and debris, it might be paper in the cave. They had very particular about not letting it. That was took care of. There wasn't supposed to be anything done away with in the cave, and so.
Were many men taught to read and write in the education program?
In what now?
Were many men taught to read and write?
Oh yes. As I mentioned, I believe once before, some of these boys in the back country and some in town couldn't even read and write. First thing they had on the program to do is teach them how to read and write and sign their own name. And that one old boy said, they fill out a check for $100. He said, that's more money than I ever expected to ever have. Well, anyway, now some of these boys is far back in the mountains, so far back, and a lot of them couldn't read and write. As I say, first thing on to do is to learn to read and write and sign their name and figure up their certain part.
Did many of the boys participate in the education program, or was it a few?
All is necessary Yeah, because they's under strict supervision, that's things they had to do. And a few other little things that probably didn't, they had to do, which was really necessary in our life.
What did you do when you left the CCC? When the CCC was over, what did you do?
Oh, I was already an airplane pilot, and I'd already worked for the biggest aeronautical university in the world, the Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University of Cincinnati, now at Daytona Beach, Florida. Still the biggest in the world, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. I was with them 5 years, and all of that helped me get my job to start with. But the war was on, and I went with Consolidated Vulti Aircraft Company in Nashville, Tennessee, and made the A-35 dive bomber with 1,800 horsepower right whirlwind right engine. But that didn't work out. The dive bomber didn't work out in the early part of the war, especially where they had opposition. The AK-AK guns on the ground would bring him down. What really done the job was the P-38 with two Allison 1,200 horsepower engines, which was a strafe bomber. He'd come over so fast, so quick, where'd he come from, where'd he go? And he done dropped his bomb. See, they couldn't get him. So that one, that P-38 is what won the war.
And you were working on it. What did you do after World War II?
They accused me of doing nothing. Well, I of course was retired, old enough to retire, and so I drove my rocket chair, buddy. That was about it. That's about it today. Me being 90 years old, I'm doing a pretty good job of it today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, well, I'll be 90 my next birthday, 31st day of March. So I'm so close to 90, I feel like I'm 90 now. No, really, I've had a wonderful life and through aviation. And the CC camps kept me going, kept my table at home going. So anyway, I've had a wonderful life. And I've college-educated 4 children, and by the help of Ms. Jones.
Is there anything else that you'd like to tell me about the CCC?
Well, I guess that's about it. You might say they was the only thing going during the Depression to help us get out of the Depression. And it was a wonderful thing. And Franklin D. Roosevelt, as one of his main programs, and of course he had other programs, which everything brought us back to living again, like we would more or less like to live.
Do you still keep in touch with people that you were in the CCC?
Very much so. It's my surprise. These boys, it's been so, it's been so long now since CC camps have been in operation. They've been doing the even 40, 50 years. I just forgot. It even worked for me. From other states would come in, knock on my door, I would hardly know who it was until they told me. And a lot of them would play tricks on me because they used to play tricks on me anyway. And that was through their fun and sociability. They'd like to, anything to throw me off, off knowing who it was. And even some of them at different times worked for me during the 9 years